Warning: the following program features mature content not suitable for younger audiences.
This podcast explores subjects dealing with mature content, vulgar language, and violent scenarios.
You've been warned. Now, on to the show.
Somewhere, in a forest of shadows and gloom, there's a dark and forgotten carnival. Abandoned and rusting, lost in time. But at the center of this festering festival of fear lies the still living heart that is the creepy carousel of horror. Join your hosts, horror narrators TJ Scorpio and GZDude13, as they discuss all things horror and macabre.
TJ Scorpio and GZDude13 take great pleasure in presenting the Creepy Carousel Horror Podcast, Valentine's Day Special.
Ever since the accident, I really haven't had the best of luck. My significant other left me for someone with a working pair of legs and intact spine. My job fired me because, well, I'm crippled. And insurance refuses to pay because apparently no one can seem to determine who was at fault. And now it's Valentine's Day, and I'm all alone. So, what do? Go online and make a dating profile on a handicapped singles dating site, duh! Just because life gets me down doesn't mean I quit trying. I've already got myself a date for today, and we're meeting at the park! Life can throw some real curveballs sometimes, but I refuse to be alone on Valentine's Day, wheelchair or no. I arrived early and decided to wait for my date off to the side and away from everyone else. I was scrolling through my phone to look up some jokes just in case the date went a little stale, when something about the size of a football zoomed past my head. At first glance, I thought it was some sort of ugly bird, but it didn't quite move or look like any bird I've ever seen. The thing was fast and flew around me a few times before darting off into the distance. Only then did it become easier to get a better look at the weird little thing. Getting a good look at the damn thing made my skin crawl, and had my legs worked, I probably would have run away. The creepy little winged creature flew from one person to the other around the park on a pair of tattered pigeon-like wings, like an oversized hummingbird. It had a human-like body and looked to be the size of a capuchin monkey, but its appearance was more grotesque than any animal I'd ever seen. It had droopy, wrinkly skin like what you see on those hairless house cats. The thing's legs ended in little monkey-like paws with sharp claws. The thing's hands were equally menacing, but the thing's forearms were adorned with backwards-facing needle-like thorns. But the creepiest thing of all was its face. The thing had empty eye sockets and just a hole for a nose. No one seemed to see it except me. This nasty little skull-faced creature was buzzing around random people as if it was a bee looking for a flower. It stopped and hovered while turning around looking for something before darting straight for a group of teens hanging out by the picnic tables. The thing hovered in front of a boy who was talking to his friend when the nasty little winged creature put out its tiny hand as if to say stop. The kid was completely oblivious to the thing just flying about a foot from his face. The moment I saw this, I knew something bad was about to happen. The kids were too far out for me to get to in time, so I resolved to shout at them. Before I could say anything, though, the thing shot one of the quills from its arm through a hole in the palm of its tiny hand. It was sickening to watch the quill sink into its arm and then shoot out through the hole. The needle-like projectile shot straight into the kid's neck. I would have thought that the whole thing was some hallucination had the kid not flinched and started bleeding when he reached up and pulled the projectile out. He looked at it for a moment before dropping it, and then looking up to meet the eyes of one of the girls in the group. The creepy flying skull-faced thing looked over at the girl too, and then proceeded to raise a hand at her. Sure enough, it shot out another one of its quills, this time hitting the girl square in the chest. She flinched and proceeded to yank out the spike from her chest. Blood seeped out from the wound, and her blouse soon became soaked in crimson. She briefly touched the wound, seemingly aware of the pain before looking up and locking eyes with her wounded counterpart, who was now also bathed in blood, trickling down his neck. At this point, the rest of the group had noticed their blood-soaked compatriots and were trying to give them aid. However, the two bloody teens simply brushed their friends off and proceeded to lock lips as they made out and bled out. They didn't seem to mind the pain or the blood. They either ignored the cries of concern and confusion from their friends, or simply could no longer hear them. The creature turned its attention to the rest of the gang and started shooting quills into them as well. Some seemed to notice a flying little winged hellion just as they got hit by one of the quills, but soon lost interest as they locked eyes with someone from the group who had also received a quill and then proceeded to make out with them. At that point, I realized what I was looking at. This horrid little flying demon was in fact Cupid. It was shooting sharp quills into people left and right, making them fall in love with the first person they looked in the eye. It didn't seem to matter who it was. I watched boys and girls, girls and girls, and boys get shot and make out with each other as they bled. Some managed to see the creature for a moment before falling into the deadly love spell. The first couple was now on the floor. The boy apparently had finally passed out from blood loss, while the girl continued to kiss his unconscious body and struggled to breathe from her own sucking chest wound. I knew it would only be a matter of time before she keeled over and passed out from lack of oxygen or blood loss. Cupid shot at the last girl in the group, who was trying to fend off her bloody friend who had his own quill stabbing out of his eye. The quill missed her by inches, but it didn't matter. The boy had grabbed hold of her and was leaning in for a kiss. As he pushed his face into hers, they both fell down, and the quill jammed into her face, and her screams became muffled as his lips finally met hers. The quill pushed in deeper into his eye socket, and his body went limp as the quill finally went in deep enough to kill him. The girl continued to scream and tried to push his now limp body off of her before Cupid finally hit her in the leg with another quill. She let out a quick yelp of pain before relaxing and then making out with the boy's corpse. As this thing continued to fly around spreading deadly toxic love, I wondered why no one else was able to see it. There was no one close enough to me to ask, and in a panic, I looked down to unlock my wheelchair and try to roll out of the park. That's when I saw it. Protruding from my right leg was a sharp quill. From behind me, I heard someone calling my name, and I realized my date was here. I forced myself not to look as I heard my name being called out to me again. I wanted to shout out, "Shut up!" But it was too late. The Cupid turned its attention towards us. I watched in horror as the nasty little thing flew past me towards its new victim.
He reached out and lovingly caressed her cheek before drawing a line with his fingers all the way down to her chin. He gently tilted her face up and looked lovingly into her eyes. At that moment, she could see what can only be described as the infinite love he had promised her. He closed his eyes and leaned in to kiss her. His lips were warm, as was his embrace. It wasn't so much that he was warm, but rather that she was cold. He held her in his arms for a few minutes longer before giving her one more parting kiss and reminding her that tomorrow was Valentine's Day. He closed the door gently, as if he was afraid to wake her, and his footsteps faded in the distance. She remembered how they first met, a week before Valentine's Day. She registered on an online dating app and had just finished uploading her 7th and final profile picture when she received her first profile match. It didn't take long to start up a conversation with the tall, dark, and handsome man. He was funny, charming, charismatic, and seemed to like all the things she did. She was honest with him and told him how she didn't want to be alone for Valentine's Day. As it turns out, neither did he. He was Mr. Perfect. She remembered how their first date had gone, just 2 days after matching on the dating app, and after long hours of conversation on the phone, they decided to meet up. Part of her was scared that Mr. Perfect was too good to be true, and that he wasn't really as tall, dark, or handsome as his dating profile made him out to be. She was pleasantly surprised to find out that he was exactly as wonderful as his profile advertised him to be. He was fit, he was clean-cut, and he was a perfect gentleman in every way. She remembered that the date was perfect too. They went out to dinner and a movie, then topped it all off with a walk in the park. The night was still early, and there was an event going on at the amphitheater, at the very center of the park. She had forgotten that it was salsa dancing night. There were food trucks, music, and couples dancing to the live band. Much to her surprise, she found herself being led out to the dance floor by Mr. Perfect. She wasn't very good at dancing, but it was hard to say no to an excuse to let him hold her and touch her. She remembered inviting him home after dancing the night away on their first date. He had told her she was beautiful and sexy, even though she thought she let herself go a little bit in the past year. He, on the other hand, looked like Michelangelo's chiseled Renaissance marble masterpiece, the Statue of David. He was a little rough and was very dominant with her the way he manhandled her, but with how hot and heavy the night had been, she wasn't going to complain, especially since it had been a very long while since she had shared her bed with anyone. She remembered waking up the next morning and reminiscing on how absolutely amazing that date had gone. She tried to turn to face Mr. Perfect and felt the restraints on her wrists. Her arms were bound over her head and her legs were shackled by chains and a bar at her knees that kept her spread eagle. It didn't take long for her to become aware of how cold the room was. She was no longer in her bedroom, no longer in her house, no longer safe. Mr. Perfect was too good to be true. She didn't know where she was or how she'd gotten there. But now, she was his prisoner. She remembered the following nights of how he violated her, how he told her she belonged to him now. She remembered how he promised nothing short of infinite love to her if she submitted to him. She remembered the look of hate, anger, and disgust on his face as he spoke to her with his forked tongue. She remembered the calendar he pinned up for her to look at, counting down the days to Valentine's Day. Most of all, she remembered his forced kiss after he'd finished using her every night. She remembered screaming, struggling, biting, and spitting on the last night before Valentine's Day as he climbed on top of her again. She remembered how hard he slapped her when she defecated herself to stop him from having his way with her again. She remembered the look of disappointment on his face as he rose up and off of her. She remembered the feeling of suffocation as he pressed a pillow down onto her face. She remembered how he whispered his promise to love her infinitely as she gasped for air. She remembered feeling nothing as her lungs stopped working and her heart stopped beating. She remembered watching the pillow lift from her face and no longer being able to move. She remembered feeling the restraints come off and the feeling of being carried. She remembered the feeling of being washed, then moved again. She remembered feeling cold as he reached out and lovingly caressed her cheek before drawing a line with his fingers all the way down to her chin. She remembered how he gently tilted her face up and looked lovingly into her eyes. She remembered what she saw in his eyes, the promise of infinite love, the lie, the insanity, the evil that really lurked behind his mask of perfection. She remembered how he desecrated her cold lips with another forced kiss. She remembered his deceivingly warm embrace before he forced another kiss. She remembered him reminding her that tomorrow was Valentine's Day, before walking away and slowly closing the door to the walk-in freezer. She remembered how her body became rigid and stiff as the cold quickly consumed her corpse. She remembered the next morning when Mr. Perfect forced another kiss against her lips, which could no longer resist him, and how he held her before wishing her a happy Valentine's Day and leaving again. He was gentle, he was sweet, he was careful, he was kind, he was loving, and he was a monster. She let herself rage in her cold, dead prison, unable to move, struggle, fight, or call out. She let her anger burn into a white-hot rage that threatened to drive her insane. She felt the fabric of her very sanity begin to crack, and just as she reached her breaking point, she blinked. Mr. Perfect remembered coming home that night after meeting a new girl he matched with online. He remembered taking out his new Valentine from the freezer and placing her on his bed.
He remembered taking a hot shower and thinking he heard something move from his bedroom. He remembered looking around and only seeing his Valentine still lying in bed. He remembered how cold she still was and deciding to watch some television while he waited for her to thaw out. He remembered hearing something shuffle behind him as he watched TV. He remembered looking behind him to find his Valentine standing over him. He remembered the knife coming down hard into his chest. He remembered the fear that coursed through his body as his pale, dead Valentine took lurching steps towards him. He remembered her stiff, cold body straddling him as he lay bleeding. He remembered her leaning in and forcing a final kiss as the weight of her cold, naked corpse pushed the kitchen knife into his heart.
Thanks for joining us. You've been listening to the Creepy Carousel Horror Podcast.
If you have any creepy content you want us to cover, feel free to email us at tjgzhorrorcast@gmail.com.
Happy nightmares, everyone.